Hi, welcome to episode 26 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Angela.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog.
Today is Monday the 25th of May, and we're in a special location today. We're still in Sydney. We've just been to the Sydney Writers Festival on the weekend.
Yay!
Yeah, it was great. And unfortunately, Philippa has come down as being sick.
I know. I nearly didn't come. I'm really glad I've pushed through it with a lot of Codral.
Yep, so we're we'll push through. She sounds like she's got a frog in her throat. That's why we're like, you know. Okay, so today we've got lots of stuff to get through because we're going to talk lots about the Sydney Writers Festival and TeenCon, which was on yesterday. And we're also going to talk about what we've been reading lately, and also we're going to do a joint review of A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. So let's get started. Maybe we'll just talk about what we've been reading first, and then sure, we'll get into the other stuff.
Sounds like a plan.
Would you like to start?
Okay, all right. So I've actually read a fair bit this last fortnight. I read them all quite seriously in about 3-4 days, and then I haven't read since. It's quite it's funny how things like that work out.
Yeah.
So first of all, I think I mentioned last podcast that the next book I was reading was Material Girls by Elaine Dimopoulos.
Yeah.
Which sounded quite interesting, and it was a bit different to my normal read, and I have to say I really, really loved it. Like, I could not put it down. It was like a dystopian high fashion novel. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah.
I have never sewn anything in my life. I just don't have the patience for it, but I got really interested in it because it really went into detail about the design process of clothes. Yeah. And it had a really great understated message, which was, you know, we consume all of this stuff and we don't seem to actually get as you know, well-off Westerners the price that other people are paying for the production of all this stuff that we consume. So yeah, it had a really good message, and I, for that reason, would really recommend it maybe to teenagers, or as a really good thought-provoking novel to discuss, because it was just fantastic. And I don't want to say too much about it because I think it makes the book sound really weird if I try and explain the background, but yeah, you know, it's really about how it's really a dystopian society where they're getting tweens to do the majority of the creative industry work, which is what drives this dystopian world, and and teens are susceptible to wanting to fit into everybody else. So that's kind of how they get around controlling the universe, or this version of America, basically.
Sure, okay.
Yep, so yes, interesting. Very interesting. If you want something that's a little bit more thought-provoking, it's still a great read, but there's really great acknowledgements at the end that have some really good thought-provoking topics. Definitely recommend that one. I then went on and I read A Court of Thorns and Roses, which I won't talk too much because we're going to review that later. Mm-hmm. Another one that was great. We'll discuss that in more detail. We've got differing opinions on that one.
Yes.
Then I went on and read Valiant by Sarah Maguire, which is a fairy tale retelling. Mm-hmm. It's a grim fairy tale. I think it's called The Tailor. I could be wrong on the exact name. I will find that out and I'll put it in the post. But it was really interesting. It was a sweet little story. It wasn't the most epic fairy tale retelling that I've ever done, but it was definitely a new voice to the scene because I personally don't know this grim story at all.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know.
Is that the one with the elves? That's the
shoemaker one. Yeah, no, it's not the elves or the shoemakers, no, but it's like basically how one girl stands up to these giants and manages with her wits alone to rescue the city. And she's a tailor. It's a very sweet story. I wouldn't put it up as my favourite, but I really quite liked it. I think it's worth a read if you're looking for something a little bit different to your standard, you know, classic fairy tale retelling.
Sure.
Very nice. And then I just finished a couple of days ago Illusionarium by Heather Dixon, which is like a steampunk parallel universe story. Now, I was drawn in from the cover. The cover is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
Parallel universes, I love. Steampunk, I don't read a lot of steampunk, but I quite enjoy it too. And this story was great. It wasn't as epic as I was hoping it would be, mm-hmm. but it was just a really fun adventure story. There's nothing else. It's all adventure.
In a series? Or
I think it's a standalone.
Oh, okay.
It may not be. I guess you could open it up to more stories, but it reads as a standalone novel, and it was definitely a fun action adventure. Mm-hmm. I would almost say this is more of a middle grade than a YA, to be honest. It just, it's a very sweet and innocent story. Like, you could easily give it to a tween crowd, and they would find it fun. Yeah. Okay. The only problem I had was it didn't have a lot of, I didn't feel it was gritty enough, or I felt that it was maybe lacking a little bit because the adventure was basically the whole story, and I felt that it could have gone into a bit more deeper, meaningful stuff or been a little bit more thought-provoking. That's probably why I only gave it a 3-star rating. So.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, that is what I've been reading recently. What about you? What have you been reading?
I've been reading a lot still because I was still on jury duty last week, so, and I had to go in for a couple of days. I never ended up on a jury, but I just sat around for ages waiting, and it was just.
So they paid you to read, basically.
Yeah, not a lot. I don't think I'm going to get much out of them, but
no, it's very much minimum wage. But yes,
I got a lot read. So and actually, at the same time, I participated in Bout of Books, which was on last week. I think
great timing for you.
It was great timing because I knew I was going to be reading a lot, so I thought I'll join in with that. So that was fun. There was some Twitter chats and stuff going on. But among the books I read, one that I talked about last episode was mm-hmm. The Cracks in the Kingdom by Jacqueline Moriarty.
Which I was quite interested in.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. I loved it. Really, really good. It's pretty quirky. Like, the writing style is very, I don't want to, it is like a YA book. It's got teenagers who are the main characters, and they have, you know, relationships and sort of deeper growing, you know, coming of age stuff going on, but it's a very young kind of feel to it. Like, it's most irreverent and extremely quirky, but there's a lot of science and big concepts in science and stuff discussed in it as well. So by the end, it takes a little bit to get into the writing style, but mm-hmm. by the end I was just like, wow, this is just amazing. Like, everything is amazing. Wow.
So can I ask, how similar is she to her sister in terms of writing?
Not at all.
Completely different?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So her sister is Leanne Moriarty, who we actually saw on a panel yesterday at the right here. But yeah, hers is more sort of, contemporary.
It's adult fiction.
Yeah. And
perhaps
this is
chick lit.
Proper, like, fantasy, sci-fi type thing. So yeah, I love it. It's the second book. The first book's called A Corner of White, and I recommend those. They're good. This particular one came out last year. And I think the third book will be coming out next year, in 2016. So hopefully it's not too far away, because there's a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of this one. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. Then I also read Uprooted by Naomi Novik. And I love this. This is standalone. It's quite long. I think it's nearly 600 pages. So long for a YA book, but
yes.
Really great kind of combination of European fairy tale type Baba Yaga,
a
forest
okay.
that's sentient kind of thing, yep. like the wood is trying to kill everybody, and
that sounds creepy.
these magicians or witches and wizards basically who are they use this chanting and singing like in their spells, and the main character is stolen away by this wizard guy to train her basically, and she can't conform to the way that he does it, and he gets really frustrated, and there is actually an element of romance in it, which I thought was a little bit unnecessary. Like, I didn't it was great, well written romance and whatever, but I didn't think it really added anything to the story.
Okay.
But
gratuitous,
it was really sweet
romance. You don't actually hear that phrase often, do you?
No,
gratuitous,
I know.
Romance.
But anyway, it was really good. I think I gave 5 stars. I really enjoyed that. And it keeps you reading all the way through. There's no sort of downtime. It's just stuff happens just all the way through. So, yeah, I recommend that one, Uprooted. Now, the one more thing I need to mention is a new website which is being launched, which is called The Pigeonhole, thepigeonhole.com. If you go to thepigeonhole.com, you can see their list of books on their website. So the way that they're doing this, it's online publishing a stave at a time, so a section at a time. So in the olden days, they used to publish stories in the newspaper in serials.
Yes, they did.
So, and they're trying to get back to that way of doing it.
They did it on radio too. That's how War of the Worlds was done.
Exactly, yeah. So they're trying to bring that kind of excitement into reading back, where almost like TV is kind of taking it away, taking over a little bit, but you get a bit of the story at a time. So you subscribe to a book. Each week you get sent a section of the story. And
okay, like via email or...?
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but or you get a link or something.
Okay.
You might also be able to download it onto your device. I'm not sure exactly how that technical part works, but the book that's just been released that I've read some of, I haven't read the whole thing, but it's a collection of short stories called Fable, and I'll read the blurb. It's, it says, Talking Badgers and Salacious Pixies, Impossible Promises and Broken Hope. Exploring the fairy tale evolution, Fable brings new tales formed from old skin with original inventions to boot. Spanning across three continents, Fable draws together some of the most beloved or even feared fairy tales while bringing to light those lesser known. So there's a couple of grim fairy tales in there.
Okay.
There's also one by Kate Forsyth, who is an Australian author who's been doing fairy tale retellings in larger book format.
So is it a new fairy tale a week type thing? Is that how this one's being done? Or
I think there's a collection of six or eight of them, and there's two in each stave.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones I've read, I read the Kate Forsyth one. So some of them are retellings, and some of them are new kind of fairy tale things, and the ones I've read are really great. So, yeah, if you're interested, go to thepigeonhole.com. I think it's quite reasonably priced. I think it was – I won't say how much I think it is because I'm probably going to be wrong and I don't want to misquote it, but it's not much. It's less – like, you know, they're around the same price that you would pay for an ebook anyway.
By the time you finish the entire book. Yeah.
Yep. And and it's a really interesting concept, so yeah, check that out.
Totally different.
All right, so I think we'd better move on to talking about the Sydney Writers Festival, do you think?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay, here we are. We're in Sydney.
We're at
the Writers Festival, wandering through the rocks, trying to find our way to the festival. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm excited.
What are we going to see first?
I've
forgotten.
Sorry, yeah. That's all I can remember.
YA.
Yeah,
me either.
Real issues in
Thank you.
YA. Right. Realistic issues in teen.
Realistic issues in teen novels. Fiction.
Yeah.
Melina Marchetta and some other YA authors who I don't know. But yeah, exciting.
The weather is amazing in Sydney too at the moment.
Yes, it's a beautiful sunny day. We're not cold at the moment.
I can't hear due to my flight. But that's all right. I'm sure, hopefully, if we get close enough seats, I'll hear the paddle.
Yeah. Okay, updates later.
Okay.
Right, so we just came up for a couple of days, came down. I mean, usually we're in Brisbane, but today we're in a special place. We saw a few different panels on yesterday.
I know. Sunday. We had three in a row that we desperately wanted to see. Yeah, so unfortunately we had to scurry between them.
Yeah, we didn't really organise that so well because they were all in different locations.
They were all one after another.
Yes, so we had to leave some early and get to others late. But so the first one we went to was called Realistic Issues in Teen Fiction. I'm pretty sure that was what it was called.
Yep.
And the panellists were Erin Goff.
Author of The Flywheel.
Yep. Barry Johnsberg, who writes the Pandora Jones series, among other books. He's got quite a few there.
The author that we were desperate to go and see, or at least I was, Melina Marchetta.
Yes, author of Looking for Aldobrandi and the Finucane of the Rocks series, which is one of my favourites.
Yeah.
And the fourth one was, how do you pronounce it?
Laurie Hale Anderson.
Yeah.
Whose most recent one, Sorry, the two books you've probably heard of her is Speak, which is quite old now, and The Impossible Life of Memory, of which I'm ashamed to say I've not read either, though they're both apparently fantastic.
Yeah, they're more contemporary.
Contemporary, yeah.
So, unfortunately, we don't really read that so much, but yeah.
Yeah.
So they had a really interesting discussion about different ways to write for YA crowd.
That's right. Now, we were unlucky. We got there late, so we didn't actually get a seat in there, but they had this fantastic viewing room, which we got to sit in, so we still got to see the panel up close and hear all the questions.
Yeah, on a big TV. In fact, it's probably better in some ways because we could see them on the TV rather than being right at the back of the room or something. So that's cool.
That's right. And while we don't read, well, I read some contemporary. You don't really ever read contemporary.
Yeah, I do some occasionally.
You've read a couple, but not often. I probably read a bit, though it's not my cup of tea all the time. I don't mind a good contemporary every now and again. But it was still a really interesting panel. I quite enjoyed it. But yes, there were quite a few questions about how to more technical relating to the writing, like how to balance the light and the dark in a book, especially about quite tough issues. And that was really quite interesting.
And whether they engaged with young people in order to make their books sound more appealing to the young adult crowd, which is quite funny because some of them are teachers and whatever, so they deal with young people all the time.
And I thought it was really interesting the difference between them in terms of dealing with social media. Laurie Hale Anderson, who's not Australian, obviously, no. Well, the other three are, she was very into the whole social media, where I felt the others were kind of like, well, we have social media. But you can tell it was one of those, we have social media, but we don't use it.
But they talked at length about John Green and his success. And I was a bit surprised that Laurie mentioned that she thought it was his success was owed to the fact that he was a straight white man.
A privileged white man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff from what I can see as we've just joined Tumblr. I'm not going to give out any Tumblr details though, because we've got to get the hang of it before we can actually go into it. But there seems to be a huge big thing on at the moment in diversity of characters and authors.
Yeah, that's not recent. That's been going on for a little while.
Well, been going for a little while, but she brings that up. She brought that up as in he's really trying to make that more.
Yeah, no, that's great and admirable, but everything. But I couldn't help thinking that maybe a lot of his success was because his book is really good.
Well, his book is really good. But the thing that none of them mentioned or none of them seem to want to talk about is the fact that he was highly successful in other forms of social media. He's got huge followings that don't read his books.
That's right, because he's a really big blogger, isn't he?
He's done heaps of vlogging things with his brother, and that was hilarious. And he's got his nerd fighter army.
Yeah, that's
There's
right,
heaps
yeah.
of other things that he has done, which, let's be real, is a big reason why he has a huge, big online social media fan base.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he actually is a very good writer. There's no question about it. If he had written adult literature, there would be a whole lot of adults applauding his wonderful success. Let's be real. He writes YA, so he's dismissed a little bit for that, less so than perhaps in the past. But I felt that was the elephant in the room, that none of them seemed to want to give any of his success to the hard work he does on social media, connecting to his fan base.
And maybe really they're just not really aware of that.
Anyway,
I thought it was an interesting discussion, just because I thought they might have been skirting around the fact that he actually is really good.
I can't really say because
I haven't read.
All of them said that all of them that had read him did say his books were great.
Oh, okay.
But for the most part, I don't think they really cared one way or another if he was successful.
No, they did say it didn't really affect them.
No, Barry was quite funny when he said, well, I hate him for the fact that he is successful and well off. But you know, that's just as he would hate anybody that's a successful writer and well off.
He was really good, obvious. Actually.
He was funny.
I actually went and bought his book afterwards just because I thought he was funny. So.
Yep.
Anyway, okay.
So that was the first session we went to. And then we scurried over and got Melina Marchetta's signature. In queue. That was, a bit difficult.
It's pretty crazy in that bookshop.
Very, very squishy, that bookshop. They really could have done a better layout, I think, for that. Like, I felt that at the Brisbane Writers Festival, the way they had the bookshop separate to where you got your signatures. So it was a much better layout for that. But obviously they probably had some space constraints. And then after we got that, we had to scurry over to our next session, which was the only paid session that we went to. And it's not really YA related, but, I absolutely love two of the three authors. So we went, and that was The Books That Exploded and Why We Fell in Love. And that had Leanne Moriarty, which is a very successful adult fiction writer. All of these are adult fiction writers. She wrote Big Little Lies, which was one of our book club books last year.
Yep.
It also had Graham Simsion, who has The Rosie Project. Again, we read that for book club. I loved that book as well.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
and then the final the final author was Terry Hayes, who wrote I Am Pilgrim, which I've seen in many bookstores. I haven't actually read it.
No.
But it sounded like a bit of a Dan Brown, you know, CIA agent.
Yeah, terrorism.
Terrorism, which a couple of Dan Brown books are more like, not the really popular ones. Okay. But
he spoke really well about... you know, how the fact that you can find anything on the internet these days and nothing's really private.
Within an hour, he'd found out the combination of how to make the polio disease virus. And I was like, he goes,
it was all a bit depressing.
It took me an hour. Like, you know, that's not that long. It was very interesting. It was a great panel. I really liked it.
Yeah, they were sort of more talked about their writing processes and, oh, they also talked about making characters likable.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to. Leah Moriarty was saying that she wanted to make her characters likable because she had to spend so much time with them when she was writing about them.
It was actually going back to the last panel too. Both of these panels kind of talked about the writing process, and it was really amazing how different authors really tackle things in a completely different manner. But quite a few of them said they found the beginning really hard. Like Leah Moriarty was saying, her characters were quite wooden at the beginning. By the end of the book, by the end of the writing process, she'd really fleshed them out. Then she'd go back to the beginning of the book and basically. Redo it all again. Yeah, and I think Erin, the author of The Flywheel, said basically the same thing. She struggled to start, and her beginning would always get completely rewritten basically before its first draft was done. I thought it was also really interesting, both Graham and Terry are screenwriters as well.
Yeah.
And they were saying how it's really different in screenwriting about likability versus in book writing. They found that process really different. And Graham, the author of The Rosie Project, and if you haven't read it, I really do recommend it. It is a very different tone. The main character has Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, you don't like him. You just can't. He has a completely different thought process. But somewhere along the lines, I don't know, somewhere in the reading, I really liked him.
Yeah.
And he was saying his main techniques were about making other characters around him really unlikable.
Yeah, so
he
didn't seem
as unlikable. Yeah. And he was saying, you know, when you have when you set your character such a high, lofty goal, which is going to be so hard for them to meet, you get lots of time for comic relief. And that's what, you know.
That's right.
That increases the likability too. It was great. I wish we could have stayed to the very end of that.
Yeah, because we had to leave early and we didn't get any signatures or anything.
No, there was no chance to get signatures. I would have loved to have got Leah Moriarty's signature.
But anyway, we had to run over back over to the pier to TeenCon. Now, TeenCon was the main event for a lot of people and for us.
Yep.
It was huge. There was a load of people. There was like 300 people or something there, I think. And it was basically a bunch, like all of the YA publisher reps.
There were 11 in total.
Basically there to sell us their books. I should say that. We were all there to squee about all the books that we love and just flail.
Yeah.
So we all did that and it was great. So,
and it was really great seeing the publishers, like A, putting faces to a lot of the names.
Yeah,
but actually seeing them really get into their characters.
They were
really good cheerleaders for them.
And
they
obviously all get along with each other anyway, like talk to each other for different reasons. So so it started off with a reviewer panel of, and that was Kat from Cuddle Buggery, Katrina from Little Book Owl, and Tilly from Tilly and Her Books, and Alison from Read Around the Rosie. So these guys all, you know, they review in different platforms, so that some of them are blogs, some are booktubers, and just like Instagram and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting. They talked about their different methods for doing reviews and some of their favourite books that they've been, you know, reading and looking forward to.
It was really a panel, so there were quite a few questions asked. Most underrated book, I think, that they think everybody should read. That got done.
Yep. And it was really interesting to just hear
how they
different
started.
Points of view. Yeah, how they started blogging. And so that was cool. Enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to put faces to names again.
Yep.
Then the publishers all got up there and did a 30-second pitch for their read now and read later books. Yep. So we've got a full list of those.
I've got them. We won't mention them all because it will take a while. There were 11 for each, but we'll put them in the post.
Yep, we'll list them out. There's some really interesting books that
some of them we've heard of or read. Some of them I've never heard of. Yep.
And so there's a big list of those. And then it was time for the book boyfriend battle. So each of the publishers had two boys from books that they publish.
They couldn't choose two guys from the same author, though.
Yes.
They had to all be, so each
wasn't
book boyfriend.
Wasn't one person who spoke twice about the same person?
No, because Penguin Teen would have definitely done Adrian and Dimitri, both from Rochelle Mead otherwise.
Yeah.
There were a lot of angry Adrian fans when they chose Dimitri. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of, I would have chosen Adrian over Dimitri any day. Yeah. Anyway, so they had to choose a different, they couldn't choose two characters from the same novel or from the same author, from what I could tell.
Yep. So they chose two different from each of their books and spoke about them and why they were great.
And there were some classics and there were some new ones. It was really good.
And one of them did like this sort of thriller from Michael Jackson sort of thing that sang about them.
Do you know what's really sad really though? Funny. As entertaining as that was, I can't remember which of the guys it was for.
No, I can't either. I was too busy laughing.
It was Simon and Schuster.
Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It was great. And then they had a elimination process where we all had to cheer. And it ended up being
There was
Kale from Throne of Glass,
which
Kale
is Westfall, who we were behind 100%
because he's my favourite book boyfriend ever. And there was Dimitri from Vampire Academy. And Four
from Divergent. Yeah.
So and then they got into the heckling phase,
They got to slag each of the other guys off. They had to say why you shouldn't vote for the other guys.
Yeah, and that was just hilarious. That was very funny. And dropped major spoilers for Allegiant.
Yes.
Which we won't mention because we don't want to spoil anyone. But yeah, that was really funny. So the winner ended up being Dimitri. So congratulations to Penguin Teen. And she got a trophy of a SpongeBob SquarePants balloon. So
and Kale came second.
Kale was the runner-up. So that was that was okay. I was all right with that. Even though I've only read one Vampire Academy book, Dimitri seems like he's pretty good. So
Yeah, I don't know. The movies spoil that series for me. I shouldn't dwell on it. But every time I think of Dimitri, I think of the guy that played him. I haven't got anything nice to say. I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going there.
Okay.
It did. One thing I will say is I really want to read The Winner's Curse now.
There was a lot
of love for The Winner's Curse, and it sounded quite interesting. That's the whole Roman Legion and slaves. I think I could get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's now high up on my list. Same with Rafa from Shadows by Paula Weston. As a Brisbane writer, I really feel like I've got to get onto
her. You do, because it's one of my favourite Angels. I've read a few Angels series, not a lot, but this is I love this series. Okay. It's great. And the fourth book is coming out very soon. It's July, I think.
Maybe I'll make it as my next read. I've got it on my Kindle right
now. Do you? Oh, yes. Read it.
Okay. All right. To hell with my
I hope you like it
review books. I'll read
I've
Shadows.
I've told you about it so much.
Text, you sold me.
Great. And they also talked a little about Illuminate.
Oh,
by
Andy
Kaufman and Jay Kristoff, which I'm so looking forward to. I really... It's not out until, October, I think.
I could have sworn I saw this on NetGalley. I'm going to have another look.
The other one is Spark.
Yes, that sounded interesting too, didn't it? Some of the goodie bags had Spark in it. We weren't that lucky.
Yeah, so we got goodie bags. They were saying that we were all going to get 11 books each. And
people nearly passed out at the thought of that.
But no, it didn't work out that way. They ended up, the
we
goodie
got about
bags,
five books each. Which and they were random. We're not complaining about,
no,
by the way.
No,
that's awesome.
Very happy to get free books anytime. But five random books. So some people got, Spark and Winner's Curse and whatever. And we got ones like...
We've taken a photo on Instagram.
I'm not ready. We got some great books, and I'm looking forward to reading.
I got
some
We All Looked Up, which was one of the publishers. What You Should Read Now.
Yep.
So I'm quite excited by that. You got another one that was also mentioned, which I'm quite jealous of. I can't remember.
Lifespan of Starlight.
The Lifespan of Starlight, that's right, which is a time travel. I love time travel.
It sounds really interesting, so I'm looking forward to reading that, if we can get them all home on the plane.
Yes.
And so, yeah, in general, we just really loved it. So, and now the other thing that we did do as part of TeenCon was to record a few interviews with a few people that were there. So I stitched them all together into a kind of, I don't know, montage, you might like to say.
Yep.
And we'll play it for you now. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Here we are. We're at TeenCon, the end of TeenCon. We just had a great time. Woohoo! It was great. And we're with a bunch of lovely YA bloggers here.
And passionate readers.
Of course. And so we're just going to ask each of you who you are, what blog you're from, and what you're reading right now. That's all I want to know. We'll start here. So who are you and which blog are you from?
Hi, my name's Sass. I'm not a blogger, but you can find me on Twitter at Sass_Swift.
I believe I just followed you a minute ago.
Entirely possible.
Okay.
Okay, I feel like I have to represent Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell at the moment, given that I'm cosplaying Kath Avery.
Oh!
And I did just start on the Jellicoe Road this morning. I know, I'm terrible, I'm behind the times.
That's cool. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, let's move on. Next.
Okay, hi, I'm Elspeth. I'm not a blogger as such, but I'm on Twitter as Elspeth Lamorte, and I'm on Tumblr as Arabella Strangely. I do a lot of graphics for books. I'm currently reading A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Oh, everyone's new favourite.
Oh my gosh, I've been so frightened to start reading it because I know I'll love it so much.
We're about to have an argument.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're actually going to review this. I think tomorrow we're going to record it. So I didn't actually like it as much as...
Ooh.
Sorry. I love Throne of Glass. But Thorn of Glass. Sorry, I'm just like, what?
Thorn of Roses.
Okay. Anyway... Sorry, go on. You're loving it so far?
I am loving it, yeah. I haven't been able to read much recently, so this is amazing.
Well,
so good.
Okay. Thank you.
Debatable.
Next.
Hi, I'm Cassie. I blog at The Magical Adventures of Cassie the Weird. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter as Cassie the Weird and pretty much any other social media thing, like Instagram and stuff. Is a book I'm reading now?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah? These Broken Stars. I finally started it because I hadn't started it yet. And
I've got to read that still too. I've been putting it off.
I finally got around to starting it. It's good so far. I'm like less than 100 pages in, but I'm liking it. So
good. Yeah, it's awesome. Keep going. Excellent.
I'm
intrigued by Tava.
I know. I like Tava. Yeah. Tava's good.
Yes.
I remember it. That's really bad. That's why I haven't read the second one either, because I have to reread it.
Thank you. Okay, who's next?
I'm Vivian, and I've forgotten my blog name now. It's This Book Saved My Life, and I'm on Twitter, VivJ32. Book I'm reading at the moment is Spark by Rachel Kroll.
Oh, yeah.
She's everyone's been talking to me on Twitter, and everyone's like, read it. So I was like, yep, and I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
It's good so far, though. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Cool. Thank you so much. Okay, one more, and then we'll be moving on. Thank you.
I'm Sarah, and I'm at sorry.im.books on Instagram. And at the moment, I'm not reading anything, but when I get home, I'm going to read, like, all of Era Fire in one sitting because my friend just got it for me today.
Oh, awesome. Enjoy that so much.
I got that as an ARC, and I had an assignment due that night. Instead, I just read the whole book.
Yes. And it's chunky. Yes. It is chunky. I have it in my backpack.
And I just read, oh, my goodness, I read it for 2 days.
I'm going to read the whole series again, like, I think, before the next one comes out.
Yeah, I'm reading Crown of Midnight at the moment. I'm almost done with it. Yeah. But
I think we have a lot of Sarah J. Maas fans.
Because my friend's Jilla.
Yeah, she's coming from Brisbane. We're from Brisbane and we're so excited.
My friend was Miller and she was coming. I was at work. I got on book at 10 and Tumblr was going crazy. It was 10 at night and everyone was like, oh my gosh, Sarah J. Maas. And I was like, cool, I'm going to get in this. Sarah J. Maas.
And I was like, Sarah J. Maas is coming. And my sister was like, who?
Oh, okay, thank you so much, girls, for that. Sweet. Okay, let's go talk to Belle. Thanks, girls. We're here with Felicity from Penguin Teen Australia. And thank you very much for organising the... Well, I assume that you organised the whole thing and emceed the whole thing.
Not to be humble brag, but I did.
It was awesome. Thank you so much.
Getting 11 publishers together. That's got to be no mean feat.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
So I guess we'll just ask the questions that we asked the other guys. Yeah. We know where you're from now, obviously.
Yes.
What are you reading right now and are you enjoying?
Right now I'm reading Dumpling, which is the Julia Murphy.
We've all got that
which is
one.
Everyone got in their show bags, yes. Which I'm really excited about everyone reading. It's yep. awesome. If you liked Side Effects May Vary, which was actually, you know, people loved that book, but people like had problems with the heroine because she was quite yes. divisive. Yes. This is probably what I would call a more... I don't mean easy in a basic way. I just mean easier because it's like you just root for this girl. You just you just love her and you love what she stands for and the realization she comes through the book, but also because it's just a great, good fiction read.
That's like, great because great she. YA. I felt that her first book was really well written, but I really could not cope with that. I just couldn't stand her. I couldn't empathize with her at all. And I was I want to read something else by her because I think that the writing had really good potential and it was a great debut, but I just couldn't do
She's
content.
Got a really strong sense of character as well, and it can play out either negatively when someone is really unlikable or play out really positively when someone you just want to get behind them. So by the end of this, Willardine, you're just like, yeah, you're just awesome. You go.
Okay, I'm going to have to read it. I think I've got it in my bag.
Yes, you do.
I guess the question that I have to ask for everybody in Australia is when are there more events like this happening around Australia? Can you give anything away?
We are in discussions with other writers' festivals to do similar things like this at other festivals. And that's the easiest place for us to do it because we know obviously that all the publishers are able to be in town at the same time.
Yep.
PTA Live is still happening.
Yes.
We have... probably Perth will be next. We changed the dates up this year because we got a lot of people saying I can't come out on a Monday night, it's quite late, so we're trying to make sure that we hear everyone's feedback. So it might be a weekend and it might not be in time to whenever I'm in that city, it might be a different date.
So
we'll hopefully have a lot more coming this year, and I know other publishers are doing similar stuff too. So
hopefully it'll be Brisbane soon.
Brisbane papers have always been good. I feel like the first PTA Live in another city was Brisbane.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because we came to it. It was at the little bookshop.
It was Paddington.
I was heavily pregnant.
That's right. And I was only just pregnant at the time.
Actually, it's funny because someone who's now a bookseller for another bookstore who used to work there had just came and said, "Man, there was a PTA Live thing. Is that person still doing that? Because we want to host it."
Oh,
I was
great.
Like, great, I need that.
It's all makes good. Your job easy when everyone loves it so much.
That's the thing. And I think people kind of are always, when I first propose it to new people who don't know what I've been, are very confused about what it is. But when they come along and see tonight, like the crowd and the activity and that people just want to fangirl about stuff.
Yeah, of course they do.
I get it. I get it. It doesn't have to be about an author talking directly to a crowd and da da da. It can just communities coming together.
Well, thank you so much for being so enthusiastic.
That's
love
my pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
And we'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there you have it, the interviews. I think there was quite a lot of fangirling on Sarah J. Maas at the end there.
There was.
So, we're all extremely excited that she's coming in November.
I think that's helped really push Aussie bloggers maybe in her favour too. I think there are a lot of people excited that she's coming. But the fact that she's
certainly.
Coming, I think,
And also because we're all here just massive Throne of Glass fans. And everyone loved Court of Thorns and Roses, which we're about to talk about. Just want to say thank you very much to Felicity from Penguin Teen Australia, who I believe organised that whole thing.
Yes.
That was so much fun, and I hope there's going to be more of that around Australia because I don't want to have to come down to Sydney every time this went on. Have more in Brisbane. But she did say that there's going to be, you heard in the interview that she said more stuff like that around Australia. So,
Hopefully the other publishers realise they're quite successful and get funds, et cetera, to put things like that on as well.
Well, I certainly added a lot of books to my to-read list.
Definitely.
So it was worth it for that alone. Do you want to talk about what we're reading right now and that?
Okay, what are we reading right now? Okay. What am I reading right now? Well, I actually am sort of between books. I was going to read The Girl at Midnight by Melissa Gray, but I think I've been convinced to read Shadows by Paula Weston. So I think that's going to be my read.
What are you reading now, though?
You
finished something.
Look, I am reading a book about tidying, but we won't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we won't bore anybody about that because I don't think that's really the right audience for my KonMari method of cleaning. Anyway, but I think it's going to be Shadows from Paula Weston.
Okay.
And then I'll read The Girl at Midnight by Melissa Gray, which sounded really interesting.
Immediately start book two in the reference series.
Oh, let's not go there. Let's not go there.
Okay.
I could binge. There's three, right? Out?
There's three out, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I have paperbacks.
Oh, don't say things like that. Okay. All right. Anyway, what about you? What are you
well, reading? I have been reading An Ember in the Ashes by Sabah Tahir. I apologize if I've said that wrongly. I stopped reading it halfway through because I didn't want to carry the book on the plane with me.
Fair enough.
But I'm enjoying it. It's very violent. Mm-hmm. It's basically this dystopian kind of world where the marshals are like kind of Roman kind of feel to them. They're very militaristic, harsh, and they've taken over this other country, part of the country that belongs to the scholars, who are like peace-loving, you know, intellectuals basically. Yep. And they have this academy where a lot of these martial kids go to learn how to be masks, who are like these elite soldiers who are really, I don't know, enforce the martial way of life, I guess you call it. And I'm enjoying it in some ways, but in other ways it's just extremely harsh. Like in the first few chapters, this 10-year-old boy is whipped to death because he's tried to escape the school, and the other students are cheering.
That's fairly
full. I was just like, are you serious? Like, this is.
But you know, in history, not really what I want to read. That sort of thing is quite normal. Like, for all of us,
really?
for all of our, we don't want our kids to be exposed to violence. In the past, people would go to public hangings and bring their kids. Like, it would be an entertainment thing.
I know. I'm just saying. Yes, it just seemed just so.
It seems harsh, but it's actually, from a historical standpoint, not that out there or extreme.
Yeah.
I think we actually have quite a privileged, sheltered existence today.
I know. Anyway, I don't particularly want to read about it.
No. And look, I might be a little bit biased in the fact that I've just had this really very interesting and very positive debate on violence in young adult literature on the Aussie Book Bloggers Facebook page, which I found really fascinating. Anyway, that's a side issue, which is a whole other discussion topic, which we don't have time for today.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm enjoying it in some ways. It's pretty action-packed and kind of cool. But so then on the plane, I started rereading Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell by Susanna Clarke, because the TV series has started in the UK, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping they're going to show it in Australia fairly soon. And I read it a long time ago, and now I'm reading it again. I remember how much I loved it at the time. It's just so, it's very funny in a dry kind of way. So it's actually a really long book. I didn't realize how long it is. So I read it all like for an hour on the plane, and I'm only like 5% in or something.
Oh, okay.
So, so it's going to take me a while. But anyway, I'll finish it once I've finished Ember in the Ashes. So.
Yep.
So anyway, we better get to our review.
Yes. Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
So I normally do the synopsis, but I think today you'll do it because I'm very snotty.
Okay, I'll sorry. Read it. No worries. So this is A Court of Thorns and Roses, was published on the 5th of May by Bloomsbury. And this is the synopsis. When 19-year-old Huntress Feyre kills a wolf in the woods, a beast-like creature arrives to demand retribution for it. Dragged to a treacherous magical land she only knows about from legends, Feyre discovers that her captor is not an animal, but Tamlin, one of the lethal immortal fairies who once ruled their world. As she dwells on his estate, her feelings for Tamlin transform from icy hostility into a fiery passion that burns through every lie and warning she's been told about the beautiful, dangerous world of the Fae. But an ancient, wicked shadow grows over the fairy lands, and Feyre must find a way to stop it, or doom Tamlin and his world forever. So it was being described as for fans of Kristin Cashaw and George R. R. Martin, which I can see the similarities to Graceling,
yes,
maybe.
I can. I don't know about Georgia.
But it is nothing like Game of Thrones.
No. I don't really see it as very, it's not very political, really.
I feel they've thrown that in just because George R. R. Martin is flavour of the month at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
In saying that, I think this will be an interesting joint review because I absolutely loved this book. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
And I didn't, I enjoyed it, but I have reservations about it.
You enjoyed it, but. And as soon as you have to say but to me is you don't really like it.
All right, so do you want to talk about what it was that you enjoyed about it? And then I'll try and describe.
So I think what I loved about it was I absolutely adored all of the main characters.
Maybe I should mention that this is a Beauty and the Beast retelling, based loosely. Okay.
So it is loosely based on Beauty and the Beast. I love Beauty and the Beast. I don't think that's why I love this though. I think I really like this because I thought the world building was fantastic. I wanted to go live in the Court of Spring. I thought it was just beautiful sounding. I don't think I'd want to live in Farrah's human world. That was not so great. But anyway, I just absolutely love, though, the four predominant main characters. I just thought were just brilliant. I really enjoyed them. So Farrah has copped quite a large beating, I feel, on social media. Mm. A lot of people didn't like her. I thought she was fantastic, and she was exactly what you needed for this story anyway, because look, she had a terrible upbringing. There is no way to doubt that. The human world is horrible. It is just a horrible, horrible world where no one's got money, no one's got food, everyone is basically starving. She was from a wealthy family who lost all their money.
Yep.
Her mother died. Her mother really paid her no attention anyway. I don't think she was a particularly large part of her life from what I can tell from the story. Her father was weak and basically broke when he lost all his money and his wife, and just would have been quite happy for them to all starve to death, I think. He was useless. He didn't man up in a bad situation. And then her two sisters are really quite horrible that just looked at her as someone to provide them with food and even better money to spend it on frivolous stuff. She had a horrible upbringing. I'm sorry, but I'd have a very close heart, I think, if my closest family treated me like that.
Yeah.
I don't think I could really love anybody very easily either, and I think I'd be a little bit cold. What I loved about her is I really felt that she warmed and thawed as the story went on, and she grew.
She did do that,
and the person she is in the first half of the book versus the person she is in the second half of the book, there is that pivotal moment where she changes and she grows, and she's willing to open herself up to something quite scary and sacrifice herself. And I just thought that was just really well done character development. So anyway, love the main character. I also thought the three male characters that were also quite heavily written about were fantastic. Tamlin was he was great. He was hot. There's no question about it. He was hot. He was mysterious. He was beautiful. He was a bit closed and distant and broody. All things that can make a great male love interest, but he had really good reasons for being closed off, like really good reasons for it, you have to admit. He was just wonderful, and their love affair was slow burning. It was hot, it was great, it was really well paced. I just thought that was thoroughly well done. There was no insta love, you have to admit that.
There was no insta love.
And then on top of that, you've got these other great characters. You've got Lucien, the best friend, who has this tortured past and is really honourable and loyal.
I did like Lucien.
And he's got that great sarcastic snarkiness about it, which you need to have as a bit of comic relief. And then there's Recent, is that how you pronounce it? Recent? The Lord of the Night Court, who's kind of in there as a baddie, who's not such a baddie after all. Yep. You can't really tell. He is going to make a fantastic... He's going to be a big part of book two, I think. He's a big part of this book.
Yes.
But he's going to be an even bigger part of book two. And I really love the twist where they've kind of brought in that Persephone myth, I think, for book two. I won't go into it because I don't want to spoil the book too much, but... I think book two is going to have a very big Persephone myth. Like, this one was Beauty and the Beast. I think it's going to be Persephone.
Okay.
The Greek myth. Anyway, so I love the characters.
Can I say what I think about the characters now?
Yeah, you tell me about the characters and then we can go on. Definitely.
Okay. I didn't agree about... I did like Lucien and Recent. I thought they were great. They were an excellent addition to the book because he needed some comic relief in some parts and just some, I don't know, charismatic baddies kind of towards the end. I was trying to work out why I didn't really like Farrah and Tamlin, and I was looking at all the other reviews, and I found one From Nick from Biscuit and Books, who actually also happens to come from Khaleesi's and Amazon's podcast. So it just happened. I tend to agree with her on a lot of books, actually. But anyway, she said that she thought it was a bit Twilight-y.
Really?
In that there is a dark, brooding, immortal,
ancient
guy who suddenly falls in love with this girl. And she's kind of a bit cold to him at the start, but then she falls desperately in love with him as well. And it all does, the actual falling in love part does seem to happen very quickly, I think, in one section. Like, all of a sudden, she goes, actually, he's kind of hot and I kind of like him. The romance part of it didn't, it was slow burning to start with, and then it was like, oh my God, I've got to have him. It was a little bit Twilight-y, I thought.
I didn't find it remotely like Twilight. I really didn't. And look, I'm not going to lie, I really like Twilight. I might not now if I was to read it today.
I liked it when I read it originally.
That's right.
But now I can see why everyone...
Look, I can see if you read some of the analysis why it's got some pretty negative, feminist views, etc. But I really didn't... I don't know. I just didn't get this. And I just, when you actually, if you think back to what the ending of the book is, what the whole curse is.
Yeah, it does make sense when you consider what the curse
involves. And I really think, considering what he was limited to, he did a really good, I really think he actually quite liked her, even though what she did to him. And like, I think what I really liked, and it's not really talked about in the book, but I got a lot out of, was, at the beginning she kills, the reason she goes into the fairyland in the first place is she kills this wolf who is actually a fae.
Yeah.
And I thought that was actually, even though she did something that was actually such a big betrayal to him, she killed his friend.
Yeah.
And he had to take her in. Like, for him to overcome that and still...
Well, he was one of his soldiers. Not necessarily.
He was like Lucian. He was another one of his
generals.
Like, I don't know. And I'm like, I felt that they were really friends. And I just am like, he could overcome that. Like, even though there was this whole curse, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to spoil it, but even though there was a curse, actually being able to get past that and still fall in love with someone, I don't know. I just thought it was really admirable.
I just found it a little bit unrealistic to me. I don't know.
Okay.
It
was we'll just have wrong. To but agree anyway, disagree.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's where we're going with this anyway, aren't we?
Yes.
But I think the other thing was that I really love the characters in Throne of Glass. Like,
as do I.
Selena is just amazing, like, character, and like Dorian and Kale, of course. But I didn't really connect that way with the ones in this book. Look, and it was still really well written, I thought. It lacked a bit of the sparkle that Throne of Glass has. It didn't blow me away. Maybe it's just I wasn't in the mood for it when I read it.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, but it just didn't hit me.
Because in the end, the last third is very different from the first two thirds.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
It becomes like this epic self-growth journey of realization and danger and action.
Yeah.
Did you prefer that part?
No, I hated that part.
You hated that part. Is it because of the recent?
No, I liked Rhysand. No, I liked Rhysand. I thought he was great. It was because I'm going to do a bit of a spoiler here. So if you don't want to be spoiled for the ending,
block your ears.
Skip ahead for like 5 minutes while I talk about this. Maybe not 5 minutes, like two minutes. Feyre gets captured and taken to the court of...
She doesn't get captured. She goes there to sacrifice herself and then she's put under arrest.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
That's a huge difference. I'm sorry. Anyway.
It's because that she leaves and then to go back to her family, and when she comes back to the spring court, no one's there. They've all been taken to
the court underneath the mountain.
Can't remember the name of the bad girl. She gets put in prison and basically tortured for a third of the book.
Yes.
And I thought that was... It just went on and on. I was like, really, when is she going to be... And then, here's the spoiler, she has to kill innocent people with a knife in order to win. And I just could not believe that. I'm like reading it going, there's no way she's going to kill these innocent people. And then she just does it and she's fine about
it. She's not fine about it. She is so not fine about it. She wasn't fine about it.
I really hope that in the next
book. I read it more recently. She wasn't fine about it. I promise you.
I hope in the next book, at the beginning, she is seriously messed up about that. Because I was messed up after reading it.
She's already messed up. She couldn't keep doing it.
Well, I put it down and I went, what the hell was that? I didn't like that at all.
Okay. The one thing that I was slightly annoyed about was I felt the answer to the riddle, which got her off scot-free,
was obvious. That was really obvious,
but I guess to her it wasn't because she was fairly close-hearted. Anyway.
I didn't guess what the answer was.
Oh, I guessed it straight
close
away.
Close to the end.
No, I guess as soon as the riddle came up there, I was like, oh, that's so obvious. And then when it happened, I was like, man, I was really hoping you were going to be less obvious than that. But I don't know.
The parts with the trials, I thought that was really well written.
The action parts, basically.
Yeah, the parts where she's trying to get away in the maze and all that was great. I liked that. It was just the part, because she was in prison for so long and tortured and blah, blah. The bit with Risen where she's like giving away her soul, basically. I don't know. That's obviously going to come into play in the
second
book. That's
the Persephone myth, because she's going to have to live in the court of the night for 6 months of a year.
Okay, right.
That's where
I don't really know.
That's where I'm going with Persephone. Anyway.
Well, anyway, there were parts of it that I really enjoyed, and other parts I was just like, I'm not really liking this. Okay. So anyway, that's my feelings on it.
It took me a while
to work it out what I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
I've still given it, I'll probably give it 3.5, maybe 4, because I did enjoy a lot of it, but I feel that the depth of my feeling against it means that I should give it less stars than I usually give other books that I kind of liked.
Okay, so are you going to pick up book 2?
Yeah, I think I will.
You'll still pick up book
because
2, okay.
I love Sarah J. Maas and she can do no wrong, but in this case the story didn't work for me.
She can do no wrong, but in this case, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. Look, a lot of people were saying that Feyre is just Selena without the snarkiness.
I don't agree with that. I think she was very different. No, they were different.
I don't know. I thought it was a really beautiful fairy tale retelling that was kind of a fairy tale in itself. A very dark one, albeit, but a fairy tale in itself. There was a lot of good growth. I loved it. I gave it the 5 stars. I felt it was a worthwhile 5 stars too.
Good for you.
Yes.
Well, there you have it, our polarizing review. Please tell us what you think. I think I'm going to be like beaten down.
There's a few that have thought your way on Goodreads anyway.
Everyone else I've spoken to about it said they loved it to bits. So,
And one last thing I'll mention is it might be a new adult book, but I really think you could market it as YA, except for the one sex scene. It was YA.
It really was. Yeah, there wasn't.
It wasn't new adult, which is a lot of sex. It really is.
Yep.
So anyway, that's my last closing statement on A Court of Thorn and Roses.
Okay. All right, well, did we have anything else we wanted to mention?
I don't think so, because we've probably gone on for a long time.
We have spoken for a long time.
And we've got to go catch a plane that's been delayed.
We do, yeah. Hopefully we'll make it home before midnight.
Oh, don't even say words like midnight, because that's going to scare me.
All right, well, if you were one of the people at TeenCon, and let us know what you thought of it, or if you have any suggestions on topics that we can talk about in future podcasts, you can get in touch with us by emailing us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or you can send us a tweet at teatreetops.
Of course, you can also find a list of all the books and other things we've been talking about in this episode, as well as our other book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
Yep, and we'll catch you again in a couple of weeks. I think we're going to be talking about dystopian books next time.
Yes. I'm up for a good dystopian chat any day of the week.
So make sure you tune in next time. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.